Welcome to this episode of the FCA Podcast, an original podcast series produced by the Florida Chiropractic Association. I'm Jennifer Durr, CEO of FCA, and I'm here with chiropractic neurologist Dr. Jerry True. And this episode is sponsored by Aspen Laser and Theralite. Dr. True is a chiropractic neurologist in South Florida. He was formerly on the board of directors of the North American Association for Laser Therapy. He has published articles on laser therapy and laser safety and contributed a chapter for the textbook titled Handbook of Low-Level Laser Therapy, published in 2017. He has lectured for postgraduate education for the Florida Chiropractic Association, the Illinois Chiropractic Society, the American Academy of Orthopedic Medicine, and many other venues in the last 20 years. He is the principal author of the FCA publication, Laser Therapy Safety and Compliance Manual, and serves as the laser safety and compliance official at FCA events. Welcome to the podcast. How does laser therapy help your practice and patients?
Jennifer, I have been practicing with laser over 20 years. To my knowledge, I might have been one of the second doctors in the state to purchase a class 4 laser. And I had an interesting epiphany with laser. I bought it. And then, of course, you have a buyer's remorse, right? You come home with a $20,000 laser. I think I paid $12,000 at the time. And on Monday, I'm back after the conference and I'm wondering, how do I make this laser work? I had no experience other than I had read scientific articles that showed that laser could be effective for treating neurologic injuries. I'm a chiropractic neurologist, so I had a significant interest in treating neurologic injuries. And coincidentally, one of my patients comes in with a severe motor vehicle accident. She was black and blue all over her face and chest and arm, and she had a paresis. She could not lift her arm up. So neurologically, it would be considered a neurosurgical emergency. This lady was a hard-headed chiropractic fan and wanted nothing to do with being referred to an emergency room. And so I told her the only thing I had available was a laser therapy, and I just got it, and you're my first patient. And so I treated her, and she might have had a little bit of pain relief. But she comes back on Wednesday. And I say, so are you ready to go to the neurosurgeon? And I even put her on speakerphone and called a neurosurgeon buddy. And he said, refer her to the emergency room. And she's, I'm not going. And I went, all I'm going to do is treat you with laser. And that's all you get today. So on Wednesday, I treat her with laser. This is 2004. And she leaves and comes back on Friday. And by the way, her arm was literally had paresis. Like she had a grade 3 paresis. She could not lift her arm. It was wet spaghetti. And I could not push her to the emergency room. She was hard-headed. I'm not going. She comes back in on Friday, and I ask her, so are you ready to go to the emergency room yet and see a neurosurgeon? And she says, absolutely not. Are you sure I need one? And she lifts her arm up that was wet spaghetti on Wednesday. At that point, in 15 years of practice, I've been in practice 37 years today in that ballpark, and I had never seen anything of that level of recovery in that short of order. And that's what got my wheels spinning, like, what the heck just happened? And so I spent the next 3 years reading everything I could find on laser therapy to see what was that mechanism of action that I could have restored an ischemic nerve root and have a recovery of that significance in a three-day period with only two treatments at that point. And that's what set me off on realizing that laser was an important tool, and it really is, it's an adjunctive chiropractic procedure that speeds up healing and relieves pain. And I believe that, like many other practitioners, that laser therapy is an indispensable tool for your practice and to help patients. And as like I've lectured for years for the FCA with that level of vigor about exigency, about the importance of every chiropractor really requires a laser in their practice. I might have a debate about what type of laser. I like all lasers, but there's limitations. Every laser has its sort of stellar therapeutic application. but some lasers work better than others for deep tissue healing. And I've just found in general that class 4 lasers are spectacular. And that's why I use the laser. I have a 20 watt Aspen laser, dual wavelength. And some of the newer wavelengths are very important because they penetrate better. Over the past 20 years, I've developed a reputation for solving many musculoskeletal injuries, and patients are coming to my office by word of mouth. I don't even advertise. I haven't advertised in probably 5 years or 7 years. And even then, it was still a hit and miss with advertising. I really didn't have much of an advertising budget compared to my colleagues. And I have about a 2-week wait to get into my office. I could probably be busier if I pushed it, but I'm comfortable at my level. And my patients are very happy with my attentiveness and how I practice. It's a cash-based practice. I charge cash for laser. It's affordable and appropriate for the level of service I'm delivering.
And I assume it's important after an accident to go ahead and get started with laser. The sooner the better.
Many chiropractors in the state have heard me lecture about this, that as an adjunctive tool, laser has the ability to expand your practice. So you can treat things that are thoroughly in the scope of practice. It's a musculoskeletal related injury, but if they're covered in bruises or scabs and abrasions, you're not going to be adjusting that person physically without a thorough workup and maybe some imaging, an MRI at the minimum, to confirm that there isn't something more serious going on. Right. But laser allows you that sort of holding point where you can take a patient and treat them with extremely low risk and high benefit. And I do have to emphasize that high benefit. So there's very few contraindications. Whereas in the chiropractic realm of I'm just going to adjust you blindly without internally investigating the severity of your injury, that could be catastrophic, like say in a spinal cord compression or a significant root compression.
In brief, can you tell us how laser therapy works to reduce pain or speed healing?
Sure. In brief is difficult, but in general, it's that what was discovered years ago is that certain wavelengths of light, visible light and infrared light, stimulate cellular repair. And there's still some debate on how much light you need and when, because there's a time frame, how to deliver the laser and how much accumulated dose of laser you need to speed up wound healing. So some manufacturers want to say that it's an extremely low level of light, that anything more than that is counterproductive. And clinically, I can tell you in the thousands of patients I've treated that that's not substantiated, that you do need a higher volume of light. So more photons per second need to be delivered to tissue to heal. So the mechanism is that light strikes a group of chemicals that are situated inside the mitochondria of the cell. And that is specifically, they resonate to that wavelength of light. They are a photoacceptor for that wavelength of light. And there's this narrow band of light within, actually it's between the blue and infrared scale, but a particular 8-10 nanometers, there is a resonant molecule, cytochrome C oxidase, that is stimulated by being struck by photons from a light source. And when it's laser, it's a coherent light source, meaning that it's highly directed, highly parallel, and a whole lot of energy per unit area of the size in a square centimeter. And that photonic energy then stimulates both enzymes and energy production, and you end up with additional ATP, adenosine triphosphate, generated, thereby speeding up wound healing and speeding up the repair of the tissues that are damaged. And that's in a nutshell. It also generates nitric oxide that's released from endothelial cells, so the lining of your blood vessels, you release nitric oxide, and nitric oxide is a potent inhibitor of sympathetic tone, so the vessels dilate, and laser is known to produce vasodilation. So in the limited things that you can tell the public, because the FDA has not caught up with 20 years of science that back laser therapy is a valid tool for every doctor to use. Virtually every hospital should have a laser. I view it as negligence at least, and possibly malpractice for hospitals not to have a laser based on the voluminous amounts of research that you can improve wound healing, protect people from ischemic nerve damage, and repair ischemic structures and make tissues basically happy and repair faster with the exposure to a narrow band of infrared wavelength light. So that's why it's so important that we have this discussion, because I feel that every chiropractor needs to be aware of it, understand the basic mechanisms, and have a laser available. So in the event that they have some patient, like my first patient who I lasered with, my instruction set was from the vendor who trained me how to use laser. And I had a little bit of a learning curve, but I had a curiosity that then allowed me to rise to the position that I'm in with understanding laser.
And now that you've been using lasers, you're still learning. Those of us who know that you are a lifelong learner. Yeah. And chiropractic physicians, y'all are trained in many things, but we always encourage additional competency if there's other areas you want to bring in your practice. So tell us what a chiropractor should do to responsibly incorporate laser therapy in their practice.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, it is a low-risk therapy device. It's an adjunctive tool, but you do need to know what the risks are. So when you operate a high-power laser, there is a power level of fluence that can heat up tissues. And so you have to be aware of that thermal injury is possible with excessive laser exposure. There's also the number one injury that you have to avoid is injury to your eye. The infrared laser will penetrate the eye, be magnified by your lens, and can easily burn the retina. So you have to wear protective goggles at all times while operating a laser of sufficient power level and fluids. The lower level systems available, the ones that do photonic stimulation and what you would call frequency-based energy medicine lasers, they do not require goggles. But they're working on a different principle than, say, the high-power Class 4 lasers. They're the deep tissue stimulating lasers. So it's important to realize that if you are training your staff, that you, the doctor, are the laser safety officer, and you are responsible for training your staff in safe operation of a laser. And oh, and by the way, before I was a chiropractor, I had been trained in laser. I had used lasers industrially for leveling. I worked in an electronics factory where they used laser, CO2 laser, for etching on resistor chips. This is way back in last century. And in physics class, we used lasers. So I had a very solid basis for laser safety before I ever bought a laser. And then it just was second nature for me to operate a laser. But I want to instill that in some other doctors who may not have had my background. And so the importance of realizing that laser safety is a requirement that we've published, the FCA has published a laser therapy safety and compliance manual. And the purpose of that is because everyone who owns a laser is, by law, you're supposed to have some level of a compliance manual and adequate training to operate the laser. And in 2005, I went to the Board of Chiropractic Medicine and presented to the board requirements for training in laser safety, because there was a gigantic corundum of lack of knowledge and just people, the doctors did not really know what they were talking about. I had heard this rumor going on that they were being influenced by the wrong people. And so I basically testified to the board. on my experiences. And then the board required that everyone have at least 4 hours of vendor-based training. And that is I think that is still what's required. I don't know if that's enforced or anyone's changed that requirement. In general, 4 hours is pretty easy to do in one afternoon with a laser vendor or a salesman for that matter, because inherently the laser only has a couple of significant safety issues. And those are, you shouldn't shine it in your eye. You should not shine it over an active cancer. You shouldn't put the laser over a gravid uterus. And you should avoid overstimulation of thyroid gland. A brief passing the laser over the thyroid is not a problem. It's overstimulation could be a problem in someone who is hyperthyroid. And then there's some inherent precautions. And those might be people with hypersensitivity. Those might be someone who could have a reaction on a blood pressure level. And this is very rare, but you might stimulate a person and they have a vasodilation effect where their blood pressure drops. And that is not totally uncommon. I mean, I've had maybe 3 patients in 20 years. So that tells you the frequency. It's not very common. But anything else is, I think some things are manufacturer precautions generated by manufacturers just because it's simpler to put out a statement that it's a precaution or contraindication rather than doing the research to prove whether or not there's any risk at all. So a very good one that, I mean, as an example, is shining a laser over an implanted medical device like a pump or a pacemaker. I cannot find one shred of valid research that is a problem. But the manufacturers, they don't want a lawsuit if coincidentally someone's pacemaker fails, because Medtronic has bigger attorneys than you or I. So the argument would be, hey, you shouldn't have done that, even though it was Medtronic's fault all along. And sorry to slam that, but it's true that this is just on these debates go on all the time in research circles, that no one is able to duplicate a failure of an implanted medical device with a low-level laser or a therapeutic laser. And yet it's still in everyone's manual when you buy a machine.
Let's take a quick break for a word from our episode sponsor, Aspen Laser and Theralite. Are you ready to elevate your practice and achieve better outcomes? Introducing Aspen Laser and Theralite, 2 global leaders in advanced photomedicine technology. With drug-free, non-invasive modalities, they're revolutionizing in-office treatments, providing increased circulation, reduced inflammation, pain relief, and accelerated healing. Aspen Laser offers FDA-cleared photobiomodulation therapy, delivering optimal dosages for superior results. With over a decade of expertise and Inc. 5000 recognition, they provide unparalleled support and training. Theralite, born from Aspen Laser, leads in full-body photobiomodulation. With advanced LED technology and space technology certification, it's simple to integrate into your practice for clinical and financial success. Experience the difference today at aspenlasers.com and theralite.com. If there is precautions taken, as you've mentioned, and there's training.
Adequate training, yes.
Can the therapist in your office operate a laser device under direction of a licensed doctor?
Yes, but I would say that the bar is a little higher, in that I would prefer, just personally in my office, I would rather have a massage therapist operating a laser, because they already have a year and a half training in the musculoskeletal system. The application of laser becomes second nature to them. They're using laser as if they would use their fingers. So they find a trigger point area and you shine the laser on it. It's that simple, and they have a very solid basis for their understanding of what they're doing with laser. So that is a truly acceptable use. When you're training a staff member, you would have to have them sit in a class and really have a basis of understanding. Now, I know this is maybe pushing an envelope a little bit with some doctors, because you have to sit in a class to operate a ultrasound machine. Do you have to sit in a class to put electrodes on someone's back for electrical stim? And there's risks in that as a therapy device. I'm here supporting the open use of laser, not laissez-faire level of everyone gets one and everyone wildly gets to operate it. With training and protocol, laser's completely safe and very low risk. So a therapist in your office can use a laser with just a small basis of training. And that would be a next level thing that I'd love to do for the FCA in, you know, conjunction with other doctors, is develop this therapy protocol basis for our state so that we can ensure that the public's getting adequate treatment and the operators of laser are adequately trained.
Now, you mentioned that chiropractors do need to have a safety and compliance manual, and you were offered the FCA version of that, and that can be purchased if our members and any doctors want to purchase that from us.
Any doctors. I think any doctor should have access to this manual.
Mm-hmm. And now to go along with that, do they need to register their laser with the state of Florida?
Thank you for asking that. That is a requirement that frequently is secondhand knowledge. Like, people do not realize in the state of Florida, there is a requirement for registration with the Department of Radiologic Health. And that form is so easy to find online. You just type in Florida laser registration and boom, it comes right up at the top of the page. There is a PDF form that has form fields. So you click through the form fields and you fill it in. It is really simple, but you have to look at the back of your machine. So if a salesman is present, they're going to know all that information like old hat. They'll do it for you. But if you're doing it on your own and you have some questions, it's not hard to figure it out. It's just that you have to know what type of laser you have, what power level, is it pulsed or is it continuous? Is it a gallium aluminum arsenide? Is it a gallium indium an arsenide? What kind of laser do you have? And its use would be medical, and then the brand name and the serial number. And that's all found on the back of the laser, usually in a little silver or gold label that's right on the back by the power supply. And so it will be all self-evident. And then the other curiosity, it will say, who is the laser safety officer? Some doctors are intimidated by that, but you know, you own a laser, you are the laser safety officer. That is a OSHA level, federal level requirement, that you are the laser safety officer. And you can have people trained under you as laser safety officer. You can even have deputy laser safety officers under you. If you're a big facility, say if you're a 4-clinic facility and you have 4 lasers, you might have to have the primary doctor is the laser safety officer, and he might have to have a deputy laser safety officer in each office. And that would not be unreasonable, and that's completely suggested and required by law. So the registration is very important. And in future seminars, I will spend more time with doctors to make sure they understand that this is a requirement. There's no fee. It's just you mail it in. You can email it in. And they've seen my name enough because of how many different lasers I've had. I've had at least 7 or 8 different lasers totally registered up there. And if you move your laser or you sell your laser or you throw your laser in the trash, you're supposed to inform the Department of Radiologic Health that you've disposed of your laser. And then they send you a letter back that we've modified your registration. And oh, and every clinic has a number, a registration number. And so that's just how it works. If other states are listening to this, they might be more stringent. So some states are extremely stringent, such as Texas or Arizona. And so I wouldn't want to address that without them realizing that there's other hoops to jump through.
Mm-hmm. In addition to the course that you teach at RFCA events, we're also packaging your course to be able to provide that on demand. So if a doctor wanted to catch that some other time, they can look for it on chirolearn.org. And there's the manual that you wrote that goes along with that. We have all those resources that are handy for any doctor that wants to get their hands on them and become competent. So I do have one last question for you. It's probably the million-dollar question. You're the laser safety officer at our events, and you visit the different laser vendors at the expo to make sure that everything's on the up and we're all on board with what we need to be as far as presenting those at an event. But I'm sure that it's difficult if a doctor is just entering the thought, do I want to have a laser in my office? There's probably all kinds of questions. And you would be the one to ask for some guidelines or suggestions to help doctors make a decision when they're purchasing a new laser. What advice do you have to give for that?
You have to know what kind of practice you have. If you're going to have a stationary laser, then buy the biggest laser that you're comfortable with. And the newer lasers have more features and better software. Lasers evolve as manufacturers improve their device. The point that I think you need to know is that some lasers may be inadequate for deep tissue stimulation, and there's a time frame that you can deliver a dosage of laser, which is the amount of photons necessary to evoke a positive ameliorative effect or photobiomodulation, but you may need a more powerful laser to do that, even though virtually all lasers will improve therapeutic outcome in musculoskeletal injuries. I just personally like the class 4 laser devices because they do it faster and with better penetration. But there's very good low-level lasers out there. Oh, and by the way, low-level lasers, like the class 3B lasers, some of them have much less risk, but you still have the same training requirements, even though there's very little risk of thermal injury, such as with the class 4 laser. And that's the one main thing. If everyone wears their goggles and there are no cases that I know of where there's an injury directly from laser therapy. Now, there's plenty of injuries on the medical side where you're using a surgical laser. That's a different argument. And in, say, an example, lasers have a divergent beam. So the beam spreads out and the energy is in a wider pattern. Whereas in surgery lasers, they put a confocal lens on the laser and they try to make the energy as high as they can so they can burn stuff up for a cutting and ablation. That is not laser therapy. That's a tissue ablation. We're using lasers for stimulation and tissue repair, a completely different subset of training and requirement. But in the OSHA standards, you still have to have this core curriculum because it's a class 3B or class 4 laser. You still have to have this core curriculum training. But a doctor is looking for a laser that could augment his practice and allow him to expand treatment for things like a shoulder dislocation. What are you going to do with that in your office? You could treat that with ice and arnica. And okay, that's fine, but you're not going to be able to do much else in the acute phase. With a laser, you can have this fantastic recovery. And I've had multiple, you could treat post-surgically. So someone comes in with back surgery because they failed with conservative care. You can now treat that back to speed up recovery. And just as an analogy, I had a patient who came in right after surgery on a walker. Husband brought her in. I lasered her back. Within 3 days, she was a whole lot better and went back to work. But about 4 years later, her back failed again. And this time it was the opposite side. So it was a recurrent disc herniation. The surgeon thought that he was going to have a 4 or 5 hour surgery because of pre-existing scar tissue on the back. The patient told me that the surgeon said it was the cleanest back surgery he had ever seen. There was no scar tissue whatsoever. And the only thing I can attribute that to, because most backs heal in a surgical, post-surgical setting, you heal with scar tissue, was the fact that on a temporal basis, on an acute post-surgical case, I lasered her back. And I have literally hundreds of patients that I have lasered and made their life far better in quality of life post-surgically, rather than to just rely on bed rest and drugs. And as a chiropractic neurologist, I'm urging other chiropractors to consider that this just improves your patient treatment protocols and the happiness of your patient base to have a laser and appropriately use it.
Yeah, one more tool for you to be able to offer your patients to get them the relief and get them on their way.
And I think it's important as a tool. Yeah. I think everyone should have one. I think every doctor should have one. One of the only impediments is that there's no billing code. There's abysmal reimbursement, but I don't even bother with that. It's just I charge cash because you have to. But if there was appropriate, equitable reimbursement in the $90 to $150 range, every doctor on the planet would buy a laser. It's just that insurance companies don't agree with my mindset. And sorry.
Yeah. You've certainly covered a lot of territory today and given great information in such a short amount of time.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
If anyone's planning on attending one of the lectures, be sure to scratch out some time for a laser safety course if you want to see some more information.
Awesome. Thank you so much. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Jennifer.
And we would also like to thank this episode's sponsor, Aspen Laser and Theralite. Join us each month as we continue our conversation with key voices in the Florida chiropractic community, discussing topics directly impacting everyday practice, the profession, and the importance of staying connected with FCA. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. For more information on the Florida Chiropractic Association, visit us online at fcachiro.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.